What's going on tonight?
Welcome to CHMA Broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, Canada. You are listening either on 106.9 FM in the Tantramar area or at www.chmafm.com. This is Ground Control at YMC Midgick Airport. You are joining myself, filled with holiday cheer.
Is that what you're filled with?
Today it is, yeah, that's what we're calling it.
All right.
We're on the radio. It's just holiday cheer.
Mm-hmm.
Air traffic controller Thomas.
And air traffic controller Luke.
Join us for the next hour as we watch the skies, listen to some tunes, chat, and we will be done by and by. So, Luke.
Yeah, man. How's the weather outside? Yeah. So, a sidebar, and this is pretty early in the show to be doing a sidebar, but this is generally recorded live,
yes.
But on this particular occasion, this is recorded live on Thursday evening.
That is correct.
So this is another in our series of preemptive weather updates.
Yes, preemptive weather update is the 28th currently. We are going live on CHMA on the 31st.
Yeah. Oh, should we be like pumping out New Year's Eve bangers?
Yeah, like, want to do Auld Lang Syne and stuff?
No, not really.
So yeah, what's the weather looking like?
Oh, excuse me while I look through my future weather predictions
here. Yeah, your
scrying
glass.
I'll pull down the, being an air traffic controller, I should really know there's actual weather reports that are issued by like Aviation Canada and such.
Yeah,
I have friends who are pilot nerds, and they used to look at that
we
as opposed to.
We all have friends that are pilots, man. We're air traffic controllers.
Oh, right. Yes. And in the business, everybody has some pilot friends. Anyway, I'm going to go for it again, just like I was wishing for on Christmas, maybe like a nice, easy snow coming
now,
down outside.
We did not spend Christmas together.
No.
We have families.
Yes.
Apart from each other.
Yes.
Was it a light snow where you were?
I don't believe so.
Yeah,
no.
It was. I was even thinking about you, and I was like, "Nah." It's
yeah,
mean.
It's not gonna happen. But I've got hopes. Like for the, you know, if you can't ring Christmas in with some snow, maybe can ring New Year's Eve in with some snow.
With some snow, well, hopefully, we're gonna go right into our first song. Hey, do you know what we didn't do? We didn't start a timer.
Cue up our playlist or set up a timer.
Yeah, we usually start up a timer when we're doing these pre-recorded shows, just so we know how much is an hour. Do you know how much we went over last time?
Quite a lot.
Yeah, we were like an hour and 20 minutes. I had to cut 20 minutes out. I cut the
Whoa.
Entire book report out.
Amazing.
I was just like, hey, if you do want to listen to that book report, you can listen to it at midgickairport.com.
It's like bonus content?
Yeah, we have bonus content on our website now, and we have
Trailblazing Radio here, folks.
Bonus content on our Spotify. Sorry, not on our Spotify, on our SoundCloud. But we do have a Spotify now, but I'll get into that promo later. Don't you worry.
Oh, man. All right, I've started the clock. We're rolling, people.
Perfect.
We got an hour here with you. Thomas, what's the first tune we're going to hear tonight?
I think I'm going to go with Let It Sly by Matt Anderson. Have you ever seen Matt Anderson live? He's a big boy.
He is a big boy. I've seen video of him, and the man's got the lungs, you know?
I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big boy.
People can tell that on radio.
I'm telling the people.
They know now.
They do know now. But I am like, when you think of a big boy, like, people think of me.
Okay.
Matt Anderson is, I think, taller and larger than I am.
All right.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. Let's listen to him sing.
He's got big lungs here. Is Let It Slide by Matt Anderson.
One, two, go. I'm sick of solving
other people's problems.
You want answers.
About the news.
Let it go, let it ride. you're missing.
What you even talking about?
Let it go, let it ride, let it slide.
Yeah, so I fact-checked this while the tune was playing, but Matt Anderson was at the Larley Creek Hullabaloo this past summer.
Woo!
Which is one of those events I always think I should go to, just so I can say I've been to the Larley Creek Hullabaloo.
We should go report at
it. Just like we're going to do on the Rogersville Bluegrass Festival.
We should become
festival travel
reporters.
Yeah, that's a thing that could happen.
You hate that idea.
Just logistically, it seems difficult.
Oh, my goodness. You know, there was actually a lot of sports news
this week. Yeah. Well, what are you gonna learn me about sports tonight?
I was going to talk about the Q a little bit. I'm sure you've heard of the Q.
That's a hockey league, sir.
That is a hockey league. And it used to be the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Yes.
Now changed its name. Because it has four teams in the Maritimes.
Yes.
Two in New Brunswick.
Yep.
Maybe New Brunswick.
The Bathurst has a team.
Yes.
And St. John.
Yeah.
And Moncton.
That's correct. So there's three here in New Brunswick. There is, I believe, only one in Nova Scotia, the Halifax Mooseheads.
Yeah.
And there's one in PEI.
Okay.
So
they used to have Maine as well.
Yeah, I think they did.
The Lewiston Maniacs,
yes.
I believe.
So they're changing the name from Quebec Major Junior Hockey League to the Quebec Maritime Junior Hockey League.
Oh, so they can keep all their, like, letterhead.
Yeah, so the exactly.
They're just kind of throwing us a bone, being like, yo.
I'm fine with the bone.
Thanks for being on board with our hockey league.
Hey, look, the St. John Sea Dogs is one of the most successful franchises in the queue.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy from St. John, and he knew I was not into sports.
Yeah.
And he still couldn't contain his enthusiasm for the Sea Dogs.
Hey, I don't like St. John a ton. Sorry, St. John listeners.
Spitting fire, yeah.
I am. Actually, you know, born and raised in St. John, so any chance I get, I talk about how bad the place is.
Yeah.
But I love Sea Dogs. Sea Dogs are great.
There you go.
Also, the World Rally Championship.
Oh, WRC, baby.
Yeah, it's coming up to a new season, so I was going to talk about the former season.
Yeah.
The new season, we're not doing
so,
that today.
So our listeners might not know this, but I am an automotive enthusiast.
That is correct, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
There is a CFL player that is trying out for World Wrestling Entertainment. He used to be the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, but then they lost. Yeah.
What?
Then they lost their acronym, right?
Yes, yes. They lost it to the World Wildlife Federation in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But And not all listeners will know that I am a big, used to be much bigger. I just keep kind of an eye on it now, but wrestling fan.
I would say you're more than a casual wrestling fan.
I don't watch it anymore, though.
But you still keep your finger on the...
I do keep my finger on the pulse. I like, yeah. I'll
you know what's going on.
To an extent. I'll read up, like, once a pay-per-view happens or a premium live event, I'll read, like, what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't watch them anymore. I don't watch weekly anymore.
All right.
But anyway, but what I'm going to talk about...
Instead of those fairly mainstream things, which I knew something about,
Excel.
Is Excel?
Excel.
Like the Microsoft program?
Yep.
You want to draw me a line of how we're getting from sports to
it's an
accounting?
E-sport. It's an e-sport.
Excel is an e-sport?
Yeah, buddy, the financial modeling World Cup. Just happened. So actually, the Financial Modeling World Cup is an organization that hosts various Microsoft Excel-based competitions. So the first competition was in September 2020, and currently there are three major competitions in the world. There is the Financial Modeling World Cup, the FMWC, the Microsoft Excel World Championship, the MEWC, and actually we just had last week the MEWC. And, of course, the Microsoft Excel Collegiate Challenge, so the MEWC, okay? So.
Are we going to have to set criteria going forward of what meets and doesn't meet a sport? I assume this has been done. Like, the criteria is pretty well-defined.
I'm sure it is, yes. But yeah. It is an e-sport. Are we not adding e-sports?
I just don't know.
Look, we'll talk about it.
Probably off air?
No, I was going to say on air. We're definitely going to have this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, give me some time to think about this so I can more clearly articulate my thoughts. But.
Look, are you telling me you're going to allow chess with no problems? Like, we talked about chess last week. But for some reason, Excel is too far for you.
You know, I think so, somehow.
Interesting. I would like, you know what? I want to know why. And you don't need to articulate it right now.
All
right. But I do want to know why.
Leave it with me, yeah. And I'll try. You know, chess is a game. I think no one would disagree that chess is a game.
Sure.
And I think as a standalone, last week I was willing to say, yeah, that's good. And I'll be honest, I know a little bit about chess, so it was like, this makes good radio when I'm not just, you know, completely ignorant on the topic.
Yes.
And it's a little more interesting conversation for people to listen to and us to have. But the jump to Excel from chess, I guess, other than letters and numbers being involved in the play of it.
Wow.
Anyway, how's the exciting little known world of, is it professional Excel?
Yeah.
So there are people who... make their livelihood.
I wouldn't say make their livelihood. Well, look, there are players in the CFL that play in the CFL, you know, most of the year, and then they have jobs outside the CFL as well. I wouldn't say, you know.
They're not professional athletes?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
And, like, you know.
That wouldn't make the criteria, I suppose.
So, the winner, the three-time world champion, Andrew Ngay, he first represented Great Britain. Moved to Australia, and he now represents Australia. He is actually in the 2020, he actually came third. So he's been top three. He's been top three every year. So he is in third place and then first. He actually thought he got out this year, which is why we're talking about it. There was a technical glitch, and he kept working through it. But he thought he was like 30 seconds behind where he actually was.
Mm-hmm.
So every...
He uses the same timer technology we do.
Yeah, exactly. So every 7 seconds, someone is out, essentially. So they are all, you know... Look, I don't know anything about this, like, high-level Excel, but they're essentially, like, doing...
Are they making, like, a set of financials? Like, is it... Is it like an accounting exam where they dump a whole bunch of journal entries in front of you and you have to build the company's financials in a limited amount of time?
From my understanding, each stage contains three case studies, 1 to 5 pages long with multiple choice or fill-in questions at the end with bonus questions. So people can choose to do the bonus questions.
Yep.
Or just choose to do the regular questions.
Yeah. And hopefully
do
it very well.
If you don't do the regular questions, you don't get the bonus question. So some people choose to do the bonus question at the beginning and then fill out. Anyway, there is strategy to it.
Yeah.
Contrary to what the name suggests, not all case studies are financial modeling based. Many are business modeling or data modeling based as well.
Oh, this is a big old throwback because, and you may not know this, you may, but like once upon a time, I was a business student.
Yes.
And I did some business case competitions where they lock you in a room for a couple hours with, in my case, a few people that were far more intelligent than myself.
Yeah.
And basically, they give you a business scenario, and you come out at the end, you present to a panel of judges, you get grilled, and you hopefully don't say anything that puts your foot too far down your throat.
Fair.
But once upon a time, I got roped into doing one that was like a pure accounting one. It was going to be put on by UNAM in Moncton.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they thought having someone with like a French name would be helpful, or they needed someone to present in French, which was my French skills were a little sharper at the time.
Yes.
Or what, but they had the university which I used to attend had some very strong accounting students.
Interesting.
And they thought if we pair someone up with them who can present a little bit, maybe it would be a nice thing, and someone put my name for it, and I agreed to it. And let me tell you, when a winter storm came through and canceled that event,
never been happier.
Oh my goodness. the relief, like the brownie points earned with my business prof,
yes,
but also the relief of not having to go in front and field like accounting questions
super fair
in front of a panel of accountants was just like, oh, I can remember it. I can remember where I was standing in the school because it was like, oh, I'm off the hook, you know. It's like the fish that got away. So
but yeah, so Andrew Ngay, he won, and he is
the world champion.
Yes. And
at Excel
is he is an actuary. So if you don't know what an actuary is, they are people that essentially do a lot of difficult maths in calculating probability of something to happen or something not to happen.
They're huge in their insurance. Like,
So obviously, you know, probably pretty strong math skills.
Probably good at that. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our sports update for this week. We were looking at the Microsoft Excel World Championship.
Oh my goodness! I hope they give you like a thumb, like a golden thumb drive as the prize. Like,
can it
be something so office based?
No, they just give you money.
Oh, that's okay too. Is it like, so like $20?
The top prize in 2023 was $25,000.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it footed by Microsoft as
sure
a marketing exercise?
I am sure it is.
And if it is, I mean, okay.
I think they can afford it. We are moving into another song. We're going to do Whistle and a Grin by the Stanfields.
Hey, you want to know why the Stanfields made the playlist this week?
Why?
Because there was a holiday that involved gift giving quite recently.
Correct.
And one of the things that came up in discussion was nobody got long johns, right? Like,
oh yeah,
you know, insulated underwear that used to be a thing. And for those of us not from the Maritimes, this Stanfield company used to make long johns in Nova Scotia.
Yes,
it was a big thing. So it's one of those regional, you know, it's not tissue paper, it's Kleenex.
Yes.
Well, for a lot of people from the Maritimes, it's not long johns. It's, you know, you're wearing your Stanfields.
Yeah.
And I got this nice insulated underlayer shirt for if I pretend to be athletic outside in the winter.
Yeah.
But, you know, no Stanfields. But I did see them live in Halifax once. They put on a heck of a show.
Did one of your parents call them Stanfields?
No.
I can see your father calling them Stanfields.
Yeah, my mother definitely not. But my father, no. I think he would have gone with long johns.
I think your mother would have a name for them, be it neither Long John's or Stanfield's, and no one except her knowing where that name came from.
Yeah, you'd 100% have to get it by context.
Yeah, that was the only way. It would be like a context clue, and everyone's like, okay, yeah, that's what you're talking about.
That's what we're rolling with.
I love your mother. Okay.
Me too.
we are going with Whistle and a Grin by the Stanfields.
Yeah, we're going to bring the energy up a notch here. Woo.
I'm what you'd call a betting man, and I live from pay to pay. I'm a hot card stirred, a mongrel blood, and a zero on the day. No, I'm no sage, nor soothsayer, nor arbiter of truth. I'm high in risk, I'm low in temper, and long in the tooth. Well, I'm long in the tooth, and I'm wide awake on the news and the end of it. I better check my pride, take it on the chin. With a whistle and a grin, with a whistle and a grin. Oh, Buxom Bell with a surefire tell was barking at my tree. Take her money, she was making as a me. Oh, so fine with a low neckline, reckless, fast, and loose. She giggled as she drew me in and tightened up the noose. Yeah, she tightened up the noose. Now I'm wide awake on the news and the end of it. I better check my pride, take it on the chin. With a whistle and a grin, with a whistle. Between my legs threw in the kitchen sink. The painted up bamboozler left me staring in my drink. To plumb the depths inside my head, but I can't seem to find the moral of the story or a little peace of mind. Just a little peace of mind. And I'm wide awake on the losing end of it. I better check my pride, take it on the chin. With a whistle and a grin, with a whistle and a grin, with a whistle and a grin, with a whistle and a grin.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was down in Halifax and got to see them open for Flogging Molly, I think.
Oh, nice.
And if you're ever at one of those shows where you're like, I'm not cool enough to be at this show, but the music was, I mean, a lot of music. Yeah. I think both of those bands had like, I think they rolled through every instrument available that night,
yeah.
But all of it, like the level of musicianship was quite high.
I have never gone to a show and like, I'm not cool enough to be here. But that's because I have far too much confidence for someone like someone of my stature.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
So, I'm talking about being super cool.
Yeah, man.
What have you been reading?
You know what? I we're on the same page here. I know because you told me you were reading The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I haven't read The Hobbit in a hot minute.
Yeah.
And I had some spare time over the past few weeks. So yeah. just read me The Hobbit.
Well, have you like, heard of a guy named Bjorn?
Ah, Bjorn's one of my favorites.
So if you remember, you actually brought Bjorn up.
Yeah, because Bjorn's the second guy, in the second time in the book that Gandalf pulls the whole, we've only got a couple people here. And then it's next thing you know, it's a party.
Yeah, there's literally 15 people there.
Yeah. No, Bjorn's a bad butt. Is that PG radio?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's well, obviously he can assume the form of a great black bear.
Yeah, which is a bold move.
Oh, yeah. Did you know, so this is a part of, not essentially The Hobbit, but a part of the Fellowship, that his descendants are called Bjornings. Bjornings.
Bjornings.
Yeah, and they can all turn into bears, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's a powerful move. But there's no mention, I believe, when they're there, Bjorn having a wife.
No, and I think it isn't until after.
Ah, that he decides to settle down?
Yeah, he settles down. So the Bjornings are counted among the free peoples of Middle-earth who oppose Sauron. So, like, the Bjornings keep essentially everything where Bjorn lived free of Sauron's forces, because they would, like, just come in, and he'd be like, his kids and grandkids and kinsmen would all be like, well, I'm actually a bear, and I don't like you.
Yeah, well, that would put an end to a lot of arguments.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, as I'm not gonna like, I got some feedback, but the segment was a little long, so I'm trying to
really. For those of you wondering how long Thomas went on about, was it one of the dwarves? Oh, was Radagast last week?
Yeah, last week was Radagast.
Oh,
Brown.
Yeah, Radagast.
It was Gloin the first week, the father of Gimli.
Yeah, well, so you're rolling right along because Radagast, when Gandalf shows up at Bjorn's, he full-on name drops.
Yeah, well, when he gets to Bjorn's, when he gets to Bjorn's, he's looking for Radagast, right?
No, I think, if I remember it right, I go back and check, but I'm pretty sure he's just like, yo, we're looking for a little help, and you know my buddy Radagast.
Yes.
You know?
Well, but that's because
it's like when I show up at musical events and don't think I'm cool enough, but I'm like, I know Thomas. And they're like, yeah, all right.
Well, they both live near Mirkwood. That's probably why they know each other. Yeah. He.
So surprise me about Bjorn. He's got a bunch of kids. And he's got some bears.
Yeah,
the bears are his kids.
What I forgot was, you know, obviously he provides vital information, provides them like a house to stay in, convinced of Gandalf and the party's trustworthiness after hearing their encounter with the goblins in the Misty Mountains. You know, after slaying the great goblin.
Yeah. Comes in clutch there at the last minute.
Yeah. So Bjorn actually arrives at the Lonely Mountain, like, during the Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah.
Just, like, shows up.
Yeah, and when, like, things are going poorly and was like,
real bad.
Excuse me, can everyone just pause here for a minute?
He learns that there's a bunch of goblins there. And he's like, do what I do love me doing.
Just, you know.
Just killing some goblins.
Just walking through an army of goblins.
So, yeah, he just turns into a bear and kills Bolg, the goblin leader.
Yeah.
Who, you know, actually, I'll...
You know, if it weren't for that, I'd say this guy would be a fantastic Sackville resident. Because, like, loves gardening, maintains the peace, has bees. Like, he's ticking off a lot of what we would consider now quite popular
honestly,
things.
Like, if we had goblins around, I wouldn't mind him being here.
That's fair, I guess.
Like, you know. But, yeah. And actually, he kills the goblin leader, Bolg, who, hint, hint, we might be talking about next week, because he's a big guy. He's got a lot of things to do.
I got to brush up on my goblin lore
maybe
for next week?
A little
week?
Bit.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Bjorn indeed became a great chief afterwards in those regions and ruled a wide land between the mountains and woods. It says that for many generations, the men of his line had the power of taking the bear shape and were some grim men and bad. Some were. But most were like in heart Bjorn. Just in less in size and strength. So yeah, like, yeah, of course some of these bear men are going to be bad people, but like, yeah, most of his kin were like just smaller, less strong him and kept
Kept things in line.
Kept things in line.
All right. I like that guy. I would go on to say, like I say, having just finished the book because you mentioned it, so I went back and just burned through it.
Yeah.
I was like, he's, I don't know if he'd be my favorite character, but
he's awesome.
He's up there.
Yeah.
He's up there. I liked what he was. I like that he's the only one in the book that, like, they show up and ask for help, and he's like, I'll kind of give you some help. But then the first night, he's like, yeah, I went to check on your whole story just to, like,
yeah,
just to make sure you weren't messing with me. Now that I know it's true, you guys just help yourself.
Yeah.
Pantry's over there. There's the kitchen, you know, some couches.
It's funny, like, how he's
make
like,
yourself
yeah,
at home.
The first night, he's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you're sure. Welcome here. Don't leave the building.
Yeah, and then he turns into a bear, runs across God knows how long, gets back, and he's like, obviously, like, he had the idea in his head. It's like, if I need to dispose of these 15,
whoa,
I can easily do it.
Whoa. You're making it pretty dark.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he wasn't worried about them. He was like, yeah, you can stay here. I'm just going to check if what
just
you're saying
go,
is true.
Yeah.
And if it's not.
Well, like, there was no phone a friend. He's not picking up the phone to check on something. So it's just like, I'm just
going. I'm going to go check. There and you if you're lying, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to deal with you. Like,
as a bear does.
As a bear. Yeah.
All right.
He's not even worried about Gandalf, really.
I don't think a man bear of his stature needs to worry about stuff.
Nah, probably not. Hey, we're going to listen to a song.
What are we listening to now?
This
I got the last one.
Is,
you do one.
This is going to be an impromptu tune. So it's by Nelson Simons, or Nelson Simmons, quartet. Nelson was, he's unfortunately passed, a really great guitarist, jazz guitarist from Preston.
Okay.
Down Halifax way.
Yep.
So, you know, always looking for, especially great jazz here in the Maritimes. I am. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Nelson Simmons Quartet impromptu tune.
man, jazz sometimes is just it's its own thing, eh? Like, in an impressive way.
Yeah, like there's not really another art form musically like it. In music, we really have like two distinct types of music.
Mm-hmm.
Being
good and
no, folk and art music.
Folk and art.
Yeah.
That's how music is divided down the middle?
Well, it is one actually a quite useful way to think about music.
Mm-hmm.
Like blues typically is folk music.
Okay.
Pop music that we have on the radio typically, I'm saying typically.
Whoa. You're going to know whichever way you answer, you're going to anger some people.
I don't think I would.
Like, all right.
Pop is folk music. Like, these are musics, you know, typically telling stories.
Mm-hmm. Music with a message?
Music with a message, yes. But a lot of jazz and classical, which typically go into art music,
have messages. It would be too. Like you'd have a narrative, maybe. It's not, you're not using words to communicate a message. But
art music is, usually more harmonically and melodically complex, but not always.
There's some simple jazz out there.
There is more simple jazz, but even like if we look at the blues, like there is, you know, Robert Johnson blues, and there is John Coltrane blues. Like,
it's a pretty big spectrum.
It is. So, like, blues. Some blues is 100%. Like, Eric Clapton plays blues.
Yeah,
100% folk.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Davis played a lot of blueses as well, but his would be more in the art side of music. But getting back off that tangent, for art music, jazz is kind of like in its own little
sub.
Yeah, it's just like harmonically, rhythmically dense. And I understand, like, listening to that is, like, very difficult for some people. And I'm, like, literally just sitting on my couch being the happiest little clam listening to that. Like, that was a killer little track that I can't believe came out of.
Y'all should have seen his happy little face.
I was so happy the whole time.
Thomas, what's going on in the news?
Rick Howe. See this guy? That's Rick.
I see a picture.
Yeah, that's Rick. Rick is a retired journalist.
Okay. Feel like that'd be the kind of thing that'd be hard to turn off.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, being a musician. It's like, oh, one day I retire, but...
Do you just stop playing music?
No.
I assume
not. But I'm
not
a musician. I'm an air traffic controller, which I am going to retire from someday.
Yes.
And never air traffic control again.
Never, not even once.
Not even think about
it. Not even going to point to a plane in the sky.
No, that's... This isn't my passion.
Wow.
What?
I thought we were... both pursuing our passion here, but anyway, go on.
This is a job for me.
All right, inform me about this retired
Rick Howe
gentleman.
Spotted a cassette tape he hadn't seen in years.
Oh,
when he slid it into his vintage Martez recorder,
mm-hmm.
the sound carried him back half a century, and the voices took him back more than 100 years. Howe was a Cub reporter when he moved to Halifax in 1978. He was also a radio news junkie. So when CJCH host Dave Wright opened his hotline show to people who'd survived the Halifax explosion, he started recording. So Rick Howe this week refound, so like it's a found tape,
this
cassette of 3 hours of
interviews of people.
Yeah, essentially interviews of people who lived through the Halifax explosion. So this was 1978 when the show aired. So,
And they would be recounting it. Probably people had experienced it, you know, like in their childhood.
Well, some childhood, but like some, I'm not going to go through, I'm not going to read the whole article for you folks. You can find it on CBC, CBC Nova Scotia, Halifax explosion, survivors, lost tapes. But if we're looking at like, you know, if we're looking at 78, that's how many years ago? Like, we're going on nearing 50, 45 years ago?
Yeah.
So the tapes are 45 years old. So, like, thank God that the cassette still works, even.
Yeah, do they like demagnetize and stuff after time?
Tapes degrade.
Okay.
Typically only degrade after a lot of use.
Oh.
But tapes can
just go.
Depending on what conditions they are in.
Huh.
Like, you know, if it's in a too wet of a place, too warm of a place, et cetera, et cetera. Like, tapes can just can just break.
All right.
But, yeah, reading through it, it's like, you know, it's a 70-year-old woman. So, yeah, this is in the 70s. So it's a 70-year-old woman talking about, like, her being in her 20s with two young children. The kids would obviously be too young to remember the Halifax explosion, but like she remembers it, remember it happening.
Yeah.
Remembering it getting in a the horse-drawn carriage to get out of town because of feared a second explosion.
Yeah.
Remembered, obviously doesn't remember losing consciousness, but remember gaining consciousness, being in a completely different spot, still with her kids, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
It's riveting to read, and it is, you know, I'm a little bit of a history buff. You know, obviously I took my air traffic controlling school. I also did a little bit
With a minor in history.
Well, I did a little bit of music school in there.
At the same time, explains your jazz passion, yes.
Yeah, and the minor with my air traffic controlling and my music was in history.
Yeah.
And this is fascinating to me, just reading through these accounts, and you know, every time something in the media like this happens, like we have this hard medium that we have rediscovered. It is really just like bringing honestly, this is a harrowing part of our history back.
Yeah.
But it's still so important, especially to have these
primary
sources.
Yeah, I mean, pre-nuclear, that was the largest man-made explosion ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and only recently has it become anything but the largest non-nuclear explosion ever.
And it's, you know, to say that the Halifax explosion is not a huge part of the history of course, Nova Scotia, but all of the Maritimes, it would be silly. Like, it still impacts people today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just... You know, if you are a history person yourself, and I would highly suggest looking up Rick Howe and Dave Wright's Hotline show from 1978, and just listening to and reading about the stories of the people that, primary sources of the Halifax explosion. And the interesting thing is, like, we have a lot of first-hand accounts of the Halifax explosion.
Yeah.
But they're typically from firefighters, police chiefs.
Not from
mayors,
everyday people.
Politicians. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not from, you know, not from Dorothy, the 22-year-old mother of two. You know? And that's
yeah,
what
and that's such a different view on history. And, like, I think the only thing close I could even parallel to that would be, and maybe that's even the difference between the few years between you and I, but, like, I can plainly remember 9/11.
Yeah, so
and
I won't say how old either of us were during that or the age difference between us.
Yeah.
I will say I remember it. Mm. I vividly remember it.
Yeah.
But I remember coming home from school and not understanding what it actually meant. I had a cousin in the building.
Yeah.
And I knew he got out.
Yeah.
That was my extent of knowing what happened.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so it's... that's a neat tidbit. Probably worth looking into.
If you're interested in that sort of stuff, 100%. News! Luke!
Man, listen, if I was better at radio, I would have segued this so well, because my local news is actually out of New York this week. And this is mostly for a reaction piece for you, but did you know that this past week, the New York Times filed a lawsuit against Microsoft and ChatGPT?
No.
Because
is Microsoft and Chat, those are two different companies.
Excuse me. ChatGPT and whatever. I'm still on earlier.
OpenAI.
There we go. You can ask ChatGPT to cite you something, right?
Yes.
Tell me the best cheesecake recipe that New York Times posted last year.
Great.
But if you ask ChatGPT that, you may or may not actually get something that came from the New York Times.
Of course, yes.
And the New York Times is saying our reputation has been based for eons on the fact that we provide, you know, we produce our own high standard of journalism.
Sorry. I have to be a little bit of a jerk and chuckle at that.
But okay. Yes, they produce, well, let's modernize it a bit. They produce content.
They have original content that they put their thumbprint on.
Yes.
Yes.
And they own that.
Yes.
But they are saying that because this, you know, because ChatGPT was based on, you know, huge swaths of data taken mm-hmm. from the internet, that some swath of that data was from them.
Sure.
They might not get cited. They might not get recognition to
sure.
it. And whether they like it or not, it's becoming a competition for them.
Sure. I've heard
whether
this...
they're going to be able to prove anything about it.
Well, that's the thing. I've heard everyone from comedians suing ChatGPT for essentially the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Being like, you're stealing my jokes. Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, is just rampant in comedy anyway. But, yeah, just, I don't know. I don't know. How many? There's so many lawsuits against ChatGPT right
now.
Yeah,
man.
And I don't know how many are frivolous, and I don't know how many are going to go through. I'm just like,
it's wild. Like I remember when it first came out, and then I remember not that long after hearing from some of my friends who might be in the educational profession that like kids are just using it to have papers written for them.
Yes, and I know many people in the education profession who would also be like, yeah, but you can also tell very easily.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. Those of us who've, like, hung out on the internet for a hot minute and seen the bots over the years on, like, if you're old enough for, like, forums and chat boards and stuff. I don't know. Sometimes it's real easy to tell when it's not a person.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like, well, maybe this is not a person who's communicating in their first language. And sometimes it's like... This is not a human. The information is there, but it's not structured in a way that
a human would actually say it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and you know, for our education friends that I've talked to, it's very easy to pick out because teachers know the specific level already that students are coming in with.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You telling me that if a kid's, like, barely able to tell you the capital of the province, that next week he's going to give you a 5-page paper on the history of the Sackville salt marshes?
I'm just saying, like, if you laugh when I say Regina, and then you turn in a paper about how, the economic impact... The declining oil industry has specifically on Saskatchewan,
mm-hmm.
and it's all worded really, really well.
Those things might not align.
Just surface level information. I'm probably going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
And by me, I mean someone else is probably going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
This might not.
Yeah,
be.
You might want to resubmit this.
Yes, exactly.
Huh.
Anyway.
Cool.
From there, we are going to our next song.
Oh, yeah. Old Man Ludica, man.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what's up, I think. I'd if you gave me the chance to sit down with a maritime artist who's like... And not necessarily have a conversation or even like, but just maybe, you know, had to be in the company of someone for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I think he must be a pretty chill dude.
You might be able to make that happen.
Eh.
You don't want to?
No, I mean, it's fine if it's happened. You don't want to force something like that. But if you like found yourself in line behind buying a bagel somewhere and was
fair.
Like, yeah, you got to split a table.
Aren't bagels great?
Oh, they're just so good.
I wish we had more like dedicated bagel places here in the Maritimes.
Huh.
You don't agree?
Well, like it's fine. I don't find getting a good bagel particularly challenging, but maybe if I had access to better bagels, I'd feel differently.
Have you never gone to Montreal and gotten a good
Either
bagel?
Either way, for
Have
those...
you never gone to Montreal and gotten a good
yes,
bagel?
Yes, I've gone to Montreal, I've gotten bagels, I've gotten
I
smoked
quit
meat.
My job.
What a tune. Here it is.
Oh, bright minds of poverty, hold on to your hard-won liberty and discard your store-bought realities. Don't let them take the joy that you make on your own. That you make on your own. Don't fuss, don't fight it, no. Take that wrong and right it home. You can always live on rice and potatoes. Take your heart's candle and relight it. You make on your own. Don't kill yourself about making it. Just be taking it easy, but be taking it. There's enough out there who are faking it. Don't let them take the joy that you make on your own. Don't fuss, don't fight it, no. Take that wrong and right it home. You can always live on rice and potato. Take your heart's candle and relight it. I quit my job. I quit my job. I quit my job. I'm free today.
Coming back with some promos, Sunday at 8 a.m., we got Legendary Maritime Bluegrass Show, which started in 1977. Wilson has been recognized 5 times as Broadcaster of the Year, so take a listen to the bluegrass and old-time music with Wilson Moore. Sundays at 11 a.m., hosted by Brian Nielsen. We have Sunday service at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, live-streamed directly from St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sackville, New Brunswick. On Tuesdays at 9, we have Dad's Vinyl Collection. Rory Fisk will be giving you a deep dive into rock and roll. And finally, we got the Night Shift. You got to go check out their promo pick if you haven't still, with Luca Compone spinning an adventurous mix of sounds. That is Sunday, so tonight at 9 p.m.
Man, there's so many good lines in that tune, but like I remember the first time I heard that tune, and there's a line, it's like, you know, you can always live on rice and potatoes. And I don't know, I find something about those songs that it's like, you know, there's 100 ways to say that the money doesn't make you happy.
Yeah.
But you know, you can always live on rice and potatoes.
Hey, man, like.
And I like
potatoes
both of those
actually
things.
Like two of my favorite foods. Yeah.
I went to make potatoes tonight as a side with supper, and they were just like a little too, the few I had left were a little too far gone. I was pretty sad.
Yeah. I made, we had my wife's entire family over here last night. And
lovely people.
Lovely people. I am the luckiest man in the world to have in-laws as I do.
Aww.
I don't know how many potatoes I made.
Quite a few.
Oh, I just, like, we have a little new grill.
Yeah. You filled it.
Just, so it was a raquette. Do you know what a raquette is?
No.
I don't either, really, but it's like a grill.
Okay.
And I boiled 2 pounds of new potatoes.
Yeah,
like little,
buddy.
Little new potatoes. Cut them in half, boil them all, and then just like let them sit on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flat side down to get a nice crisp on them.
Yeah.
Oh, then you just put ketchup or cheese or whatever you want.
Shameless plug. I went to Fenner's the other day.
Oh, Fenner's had
their,
in town is
their
great.
Had their potatoes and with the... with the garlic sauce on, it's like a tomb, but I don't know what. So good.
Incredible.
Thomas, who are you giving a gold star to this week?
No, man, you gotta do your gold star first because mine's better.
If I say the name Michael Deatter, ring a bell?
No.
Michael Deatter was formerly the cartoonist. I'm looking. There's a better word for the people who do a cartoon every day when it has to do with like current events and satire and stuff. But anyway, he did it for a bunch of the local papers.
Yeah.
But Michael Deatter just got just announced that he's being inducted into the Order of Canada.
That's awesome.
Guy from Moncton?
Yeah.
Guy who this is a bit of a throwback here to the last tune, but like I assume liked what he did.
Yeah.
Found a living just like drawing stuff. And
why wasn't this your local news?
I'm really not sure. Because the guy deserves a gold star.
Listen,
lots of people in the Order of Canada. Not so many people with one of our gold stars.
He is currently
the only cartoonist.
The only person.
Yes.
Right now, he is the only person that both has a gold star and is in the Order of Canada.
And that's setting records.
Yeah, that's certainly something.
It really is.
That is certainly a thing.
I would, yes. Anyway. Who or what or when are you giving a gold star to this week?
Can I give dates a gold star?
Like if something particularly good happened? I don't know. Again, going back to our earlier conversations, it's criteria. We'll debate whether we can give a gold star to Dace later.
Super fair.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
Yeah?
Santa Claus, look, real short of it, you know, he works...
so hard.
He works so hard, he, you know, people think it's a one-day-a-year job. It's not, you know, he probably gets, like, 4 weeks vacation, because, you know, he's pretty high up in the organization, right?
I would think at the top.
I don't know if he's the CEO.
Oh, I was about to say he's the LHOHO, but man, that's so bad.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, all right. Anyway.
So he at least gets 4 weeks off.
Yeah, man.
You know, he's working 320 days a year. And people only recognize him for the one day, but like I'm here to recognize him for
the rest of the work.
300 of the days that he works, yeah.
All right.
God bless that man.
You give that. Give Santa a gold star.
He's the golden star. Hey, Don Cherry update.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness.
Can we...
1 second. Because I had a Don Cherry update for us, but it is gone. Have you heard of a pocket trumpet before?
I one assumes it's a pocket a trumpet you can fit in your pocket.
A pocket that you can fit in your trumpet?
A pocket that you can fit in your trumpet, which is, I think, most trumpets you can fit things in because they got the flare at the end.
That is called the bell.
The bell. Oh, because it's like a bell mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense than the flare.
No, Don Cherry was a trumpeter. Oh, he only lived 29 years, which is quite unfortunate. 58 years. I don't know how to do math.
It's not the math radio hour.
It is not the math radio hour. But he was a very young man when he passed. Trumpeter, Donald Eugene Cherry, long performed in the bands of Ornette Coleman, huge jazz saxophonist.
I believe you.
Pioneering free jazz in shape of the Shape of Jazz to Come, which is actually one of the most influential jazz albums ever.
Wow.
In 1959. Often credited as the first free jazz album in 1959. John Coltrane did a lot of work in free jazz in the mid to late 60s. But Ornette Coleman's A Shape of Jazz to Come in 59 is, the first free jazz album with a free jazz, a collective improvisation in 1960. Cherry also collaborated separately with John Coltrane, Sun Ra, Ed Blackwell, Charlie Hayden, the New York Contemporary Five, and Albert Eiler, all big in free jazz scenes at different points. He was a monster on his instrument. I know a lot of people think free jazz is just like noise. Here's the thing.
Okay.
I know a lot of people think of jazz as noise.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good to acknowledge that up front.
And a lot of more people think of free jazz as noise.
Mm.
But the thing with like Don Cherry and all these other free jazz players that I just mentioned, they're like savants at like bebop, which is like usually like, you know, the harder jazz. When people think about jazz, like bebop's probably like the hardest to play, maybe.
Okay.
And like they were just like, I'm so bored of
this. We need to find something else.
Yeah, they're like, I'm just cool. So bored of demolishing this that like I want to go into like a soundscape that no one's ever even touched. And it's like, yeah, if you listen to Don Cherry, some people would go like, this is just garbage noise. And when I listen to it, I'm like, this man
knew what was up.
Well, it's just like, just on a, like a different level musically.
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
This has been my favorite Don Cherry update so far.
I know. We're going to talk about more Don Cherry every single week. Don't you worry about it.
Fantastic.
Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you, CHMA, for hosting and broadcasting. Check them out at chma.com and chmafm on all the socials. Check out midgetairport.com and visit our merch store. Give us a shout out on all the socials at midgetairport, except on X, formerly known as Twitter, which we are at midget_airport. We are also found everywhere you can get a podcast now.
It's crazy how much of the internet we are on nowadays.
We are on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Deezer. We are on Apple Podcasts. Google Podcasts is closing, and then we'll be on YouTube. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. But, man, if like we have 2 to 3 live listeners, it's amazing that people can go and hypothetically even double the number of people that could listen to this in a given week.
I'm going to tell you, we had 6 people listen to us on Spotify this week.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's crazy. Actually, I do think that's crazy. Hey, thank you all for listening. And, you know,
have a great evening.
Have a great evening.